Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Salt Lake City Councilman Luke Garrett is wrapping up his first four-year term representing District 4 downtown and is now running for re-election to a second term. During those 4 years, downtown has not been without controversies such as a sky bridge, a failed plan to put a public safety building right on Library Square, tension over the Main Street Plaza next to the LDS Temple, and a proposed anti-panhandling ordinance. But its major successes, of course, include City Creek, the expanding farmers market, the Twilight concert series, and more. What's the future of downtown Salt Lake City, and what is Councilman Garrett doing to make it a better place? Luke joins me now in the studio. Luke, it's always good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me here, Jeff.
Listeners, you can join us on the air with your questions and comments for Luke Garrett. We're at 801-355-TALK. That is 801-355-8255. Well, Luke, when you first ran for the city council, what was it you set out to do specifically when it comes to the downtown area?
Well, Jeff, I saw a city that has a lot of history, that has a lot of potential as well. I'm a transplant to Salt Lake. I moved here in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And saw it as a really attractive place, but what really bulged my eyes out was the potential of this place. So I think I ran for city council based in this attitude that, you know, the city could use some help growing up a little bit. And, I saw transportation issues, for example. We were really car, auto dependent. Mm. It was hard to walk in the city, even though we have, you know, in the east central downtown, the area that I lived, great, you know, public ways, huge sidewalks, huge park strips, you know, tree-lined streets. So it was a walkable place that had this potential to be even more so. Issues of kind of nightlife as well. We had these archaic regulations about not only allowing two bars per block in the downtown area, and that really put the handcuffs on any sort of entertainment zone, any sort of kind of critical mass that this sort of downtown entertainment district might have. And so there are those issues that I thought that I could help out with.
And so in the past 4 years, do you think that Salt Lake City has grown up a bit, as you say, or do you think it's only been baby steps so far?
Well, progress is always slow, especially when you're talking about social change or political change. It's always slow, but I hear from people who've gone away and come back, former students of mine, for example, who say, mm-hmm. boy, Salt Lake City has changed a lot. And, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you and I who are doing politics every day, it's hard to see the incremental change. But I really do think we've made a lot of steps. If you just look at our transportation, mm-hmm. what rail has done and what pedestrian amenities, safety amenities, and obviously bike lanes and other bike facilities have done to our city has really given people more choices in transportation, that they don't have to jump in their car every time they need something. And I think we have made a lot of progress.
Are there any things that you look at in the past 4 years and you would point to and say, this is something where I changed the conversation, this is something where I weighed in and made a difference?
I think so. I'm not the best person to judge, of course. You need observers like yourself who are following politics. But I think I have made a difference on the city council. I've been a voice that isn't necessarily a traditional voice, that has really looked towards the future of the city. I try to be very reasonable and rational and studied about issues, and I think I have been an asset for the city council. As far as issues go, boy, you know, one thing, you know, I'm a part-time politician. You know, city council pays just part-time, and don't really plan on becoming a professional in it. But something that's really shocked me, and I think that has discouraged me at times, is that so much progress in politics, or what we would call victories in politics, have to do with stopping bad stuff. And it's a negative thing, right? And I'm a very positive person, and I want constructive change. Mm. The things that I've mentioned, you talk about the farmers market, and you talk about, you know, urban agriculture, the big steps that we've made here. Mm-hmm. As far as that goes, you know, the Leonardo here at Library Square is about to open. You know, there have been really productive, constructive things. But, boy, a lot of what I've done has been also stopping stuff. So if we look here at Library Square, and we could have a public safety, you know, a big hole here, excavation site just to the east of where we're sitting now.
Right.
You know, that was a big deal. I from the moment that I heard that the mayor was thinking about siting it there, and I think the reason was he wanted to save money, and he wanted to save taxpayers' money. We already owned the land, and it was going to be the cheapest alternative. I knew it was wrong, and so, you know, that in one, I think I made a big difference in. I've been a constant supporter of the mayor's bikeways and expanded transportation and issues of you know, trails, pedestrian amenities. I think I've made a difference there. The recent landlord-tenant initiative, the Good Landlord Program, as it's called, you know, that came out of the city council, and I was instrumental in that. It was actually early in my term. So there are things that I think I can take some ownership over and be proud about.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Salt Lake City Councilman Luke Garrett, who represents District 4 in downtown. You can join us on the air at 801-355-8255, 801-355-8255. Luke, there's no question that, you know, the state legislature has been a source of frustration for Mayor Ralph Becker. Has that been the case with you as well?
Well, I think those of us who are in Utah politics know the context before we jump in. And if you don't have the stomach for it, you generally kind of try to ignore it. I think a lot of people have disengaged from Utah politics because it's so depressing and infuriating. You know, if you have a progressive bent and you're not in line with a lot of the things that the legislature does, it can be really frustrating. Well, I don't have the choice to disengage. I don't necessarily blame people who do. And so, I mean, it's a constant backdrop to what we do. One of the things I really appreciate in Mayor Becker is that his stance with the legislature has been quite productive. I mean, unfortunately, it's one where we can't come out and swing for the fences to get the stuff kind of funded or get the legislative changes that we'd like because, you know, we're dealing with a very conservative legislature. Has it been frustrating, was your question? Well, it's kind of constantly frustrating. I don't get surprised at very much. And I've really chastened my expectations, too. I think that if you don't expect very much from the legislature, you won't be disappointed. And I think that's kind of where my mentality has gone.
Now, if I'm correct here, the Temple Square, I believe, is in your district. Is that correct?
My district, actually, the northern boundary is South Temple Street.
Oh, okay. Well, very close. Has your job involved a lot of interaction with the church? You know, I mentioned the Main Street Plaza controversy. People are always curious, you know, how much of a role the church does play in day-to-day politics. Give us your perspective on that.
Well, let me see. I mean, there are certain issues that the church gets involved in. The alcohol normalization or alcohol reform, they were very involved with. And they might get re-engaged with that because actually the city council is not done considering alcohol uses, if we use that kind of land use planning speak, in neighborhood commercial zones. We kind of put that off because we're reconsidering a new business zone. And this is one of the things I'm kind of proud about and really excited about in the second term, of revivifying our neighborhood business zones. In Central City and in the avenues, you can see the remnants of our trolley culture. A lot of these corners have really small commercial properties on them. And in 1995, we rezoned all of those to be residential. So if you want to have a business in one of those, you're a nonconforming use, and you have rights to that use, that business use, as long as it doesn't lapse. Well, it's a huge hamstring on business because you can't, you know, banks won't finance. You can't sell it and have the use change. In other words, you could have a, you know, hair salon that stays a hair salon and you would maintain your legal right to that. But if you want to change it to a deli or something, you're going to lose your rights. And so it's a huge, huge hamper on businesses. That is really important to me. And you know what, Jeff? I lost your train of questioning because I got started talking about neighborhood business. Where do you want me to go with that?
So how big a role the church plays in city politics? Bigger or not so much?
So the issue of alcohol and more kind of alcohol outlets or places that serve alcohol is concerned the church, and they were involved in that in a pretty transparent way, I think. We've been in constant negotiation with them about the site for the big theater on Main Street because they own that property, and it's going to be pretty much across the street from City Creek Center. Besides that, oh my gosh, there's the other issue of the Northwest Quadrant, where they are one north of I-80 and west of the airport. They're one of the three largest landholders out there and have a very big interest in developing residential out there. So we're involved in discussions, although I haven't personally been involved in discussions with them about that. It's a constant question for people in Salt Lake City, but I think we're pretty well balanced in the sense that voters have put into office now non-LDS Democrats for a number of terms. I mean, maybe even 20 years. And so I think the balance there is it's constantly vital and it's constantly shifting. But a church a city dominated by church politics, I don't think I'd say that that's the case.
Councilman Garrett, you mentioned the Broadway Theater. I recently had the opportunity to see Saturday's Voyeur at Salt Lake Acting Company, and this issue actually plays quite a big role in one of these scenes and kind of poking some mockery at the idea that a Broadway theater could be successful in downtown Salt Lake City. But at the same time, the mayor is very gung-ho on the project, and, a study was just completed that the mayor says shows that it's viable. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's going to be a big step for the city. It's going to cost a lot of money, and there will be opportunity costs involved as well. We'll have to forego other projects. What I've seen is that, yes, it's going to alter the live venue environment for sure in Salt Lake City. We're probably, from experts and friends that I've talked to who've read the study, they're a bit skeptical about how many dates we can actually schedule per year. I think that there just aren't enough shows to go around, I've heard. And that so our estimates about how many days that the venue may be used may be a little high. Not to the extent where the results that were presented in the study are false, but it may be a little bit rosy in its projections. And secondly, it's probably going to put a venue or two out of business. Kingsbury Hall, for example, hosts a lot of touring Broadway, small Broadway. They may have to shift what they do. And I think that they have because they're at the university, they have the ability to do that. Will it grow the pie? And for me, that's the major issue. Will it grow the pie? I don't know, Jeff, if on your list of questions you have the Convention Center Hotel, but that's another very, very important issue for downtown Salt Lake.
Oh, certainly.
I'm a supporter of the big theater because I think it can succeed. I think Main Street needs it. I think it's exactly what Main Street, that part of Main Street, needs, especially given that it's across the street from the Utah Theater that the city now owns and has high hopes for. So generally, I'm a supporter of it, but it's in this economy especially, it's going to take a bite out of us.
And going to that issue of the Convention Center Hotel, very timely, because earlier this hour we were talking with Frank Hugelmeyer, President and CEO of Outdoor Industry Association, which is in town with the summer market. And along with that, an interesting article in the Tribune exploring whether, the show is outgrowing the Salt Palace. Certainly many vendors can't fit in it right now. How concerned are you, especially representing downtown, that this show might up and leave in a few years?
Well, we can't run an entire convention business based on one show. Mm-hmm. We want to be as accommodating as possible, and we have been, and our partnership is great with the OR show. And spilling out of the convention hall is kind of cool, too, because it impacts the community, and everyone downtown knows something big is going on. So as far as accommodating, we certainly want to accommodate and have tried to accommodate best we can. One of the arguments I hear for the hotel, and this is a mega hotel that would be at least 1,000 rooms, it needs some public financing because, as I've heard it explained, no bank will finance any one developer to the extent that a type of hotel like this needs. And the analyses that have gone on that we hear from the Convention and Visitors Bureau really are pretty compelling, that we're losing businesses and that we're not on the kind of A tour of big conventions because we just don't have the facilities here. We have the hall, mm-hmm. We have the hall, but we don't have the hotel. The hotel won't just be rooms. It will all also have meeting, not just over bedrooms, but also meeting rooms, which is quite important and addresses this issue of does the Salt Palace have enough space. It seems like a pretty safe investment in the sense that The cash flow will pay the debt service. That's the idea. And, you know, when we visited officials from the city and from the development community visited Denver last year at this time, and boy, they were pretty convincing that the pie there grew. Mm-hmm. That that not only did they get the bigger conventions that they were looking for, but you know, after a 5-year dip at max of other hoteliers being hit a little bit and seeing a dip in business because of this new big fish in the pond, that actually after 5 years they were booking more rooms at a higher rate than they were previously. Mm-hmm. And so I initially was very hesitant. Why do we need taxpayer money to subsidize something that obviously should be dealt with by the private sector, and the private sector is very interested in this project. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that the taxpayers will be held pretty harmless, and that the pie will grow for Salt Lake City.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Councilman Luke Garrett, who represents District 4 downtown. In the studio for the next 10 minutes. You can still join us on the air at 801-355-8255. Luke, we got a question from a listener earlier about food trucks, which have been an interesting issue. A lot of people downtown are fans of the Chow Truck, for example, and but she's voiced some concerns in Salt Lake City and Salt Lake County as a whole about it being difficult for her to do business because of restrictions, et cetera. What do you think about that? Should the city be making it easier for these kinds of businesses to flourish?
I do. And it's funny you mentioned that, because right when I came in office, the city council was dealing with a potential ordinance that would make it harder for food carts, taco carts.
Oh, yeah.
To do business. And that was a legacy of my predecessor in office in District 4. And immediately I knew that was not the direction we wanted to go in. Fortunately, Mayor Becker is of the same opinion, that we want to, food carts are good things because they enliven sidewalk life. They make a city feel like a city. We've got a pretty good health department here that enforces, right, health regulations. And so, you know, I feel safe eating from food carts. The Chow Truck, unfortunately, and other, what do you call them, lunch carts, the carts that visit construction sites, for example. Mm-hmm. I was told that originally this ordinance was meant to regulate those carts, not wanting them to park more than 2 hours in any one place. Well, the question remains, why not? Now, and I think Mayor Becker is of that same opinion. We want more choice for residents. We want to be encouraging of these businesses as long as they're providing, you know, safe services. And I don't think there'll be very much resistance on the city council to liberalizing those rules for food carts.
Luke, what have you learned in the past 4 years about interacting directly with constituents? Certainly there have been a handful of issues that really do pack the city council room, whether it's, you know, off-leash dogs in Parley's Historic Nature Park, whether it's the soccer complex, whether it's the Sky Bridge as part of the City Creek development. You know, what have you learned about how much can you really take in what people tell you directly into mind when you make your decisions, and how much of it should be based on, you know, what you think is right as the elected official?
Oh, complex question. Please keep me on task if I wander, Jeff.
Okay.
There seem to be kind of two types of participation that citizens engage in Salt Lake. One is a more engaged, extended, sustained type of participation, where people might sit on a citizens advisory group or work on an issue with city staff over a longer period. I see that in issues of, you know, our neighborhood business reform, the historical preservation plan, for example. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of sustained participation when it comes to the mayor's bicycle advisory committee. And then there's a type of – and so you get to know those people who are participating. These are kind of citizen activists who mm-hmm. are, professionals or were one-time professionals, or maybe they just have an avocational interest in whatever issue that they're involved in. You get to know those people, and there grows a certain amount of trust with them because you go to them for their judgment and their opinions. And then there's the type of participation which is very episodic, which is kind of the expressing of grievances.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's the former. It's the first kind of participation that makes a bigger difference. you know, the city governments, all levels of government, state, county, federal, you know, they're, this may sound naive, but you know, there are very few malicious people in government. The bad stuff that gets done in government happens because people are doing things the way they always have. People, you know, bureaucrats who have technical expertise will go ahead and advance a policy without fully vetting it or without actually letting that policy grow out of the community and kind of a community will being formed behind it. They'll just go ahead and do it because they have the power to do it and they think they're doing the right thing. It's really important that we not only have a citizen check on that sort of behavior when government can do bad things just by doing what they regularly do. But more than I'm kind of a democratic dreamer when it comes to this too, in the sense that I'd really like to see more policy being generated from neighborhoods, from neighborhood organizations. One of the community councils in my district is very, very proactive, and they've got 5 or 10, 15 projects going on all the time. And it's that kind of participation that undoubtedly makes government better, because the way that our government is set up is we've got, you know, professionals who serve in office as representatives or professionals who serve in appointed office as a, you know, a bureaucrat, an expert. And we may think we know what's going on, but without citizen participation, we could be completely off. And a policy can be made better by a little input sometimes. Just, you know, and the recent sustainability urban agriculture ordinances were vastly improved by people coming out and giving us their suggestions, you know, gardeners and people who've worked with solar panels in the past and this sort of stuff. So it's super important. When you get yelled at, you know, the type of participation where people are airing grievances,
yeah,
that's important to hear, but it's also easy to tune out because no one likes being yelled at. But believe it or not, politicians have self-esteem problems like everybody else. And we want to think we're doing well, and you know, honey gets the bees, and you know, constructive engagement I think is always more productive. But all sorts of engagement are important. When people are mad about something, they should express it. There's no doubt about it.
Luke, you were talking earlier about how part of your job has been, you know, not just trying to implement good stuff, but also stop bad stuff. Is there any one part of your 4-year term so far where you would look at and say, you know, wow, this part of city government is just simply dysfunctional. This is not how it should work, or not?
Well, I mean, I've learned a lot about how the administrative side of government works, and the mayor is the boss of that. You know, we're split in city government between a legislative branch and an administrative branch, but mm-hmm. it's not, I mean, it's somewhat analogous to the federal setup, but not really. Because we don't do a heck of a lot of legislating out of the city council office. You know, I think in addressing your question, I'd like to see the city council bulk up its ability to legislate because I think we're in better touch with our constituents. You know, we're going to the neighborhood council meetings. We're the accessible ones who see people in the grocery store. You know, the mayor's got the whole city to cover. We only have, you know, one of seven districts to cover. And so I'd like to see more legislative action coming out of the city council, and that's an issue of staff. You know, we'll have to bulk up and hire more people, and I don't know if that's worth it as far as, you know, the resources that would have to be committed, and they'd have to come from somewhere else or we'd have to raise revenue some way. As far as the administrative side goes, Ralph is a reformer, and I think city government's working better than it was 3.5 years ago. There's, you know, it's a constant struggle. There's no doubt about it, constant struggle, and it'll never be over. But I feel pretty confident that city government is in a better shape than it was before. I wouldn't be running all the departments the same way that the mayor is, but we're not the same person, so that makes perfect sense.
And finally, Luke, in about the 2 minutes that we have left, obviously City Creek is coming online that will get more people downtown. Any other efforts you see on the horizon to just keep doing the same thing, getting more people downtown, getting rid of some of these vacant lots and replacing them with businesses and more people?
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, parking. The city is interested in reducing the negative impression that there's no parking or it's hard to park in downtown Salt Lake. And we really need to coordinate between parking providers. We need to have all sorts of signage, all sorts of information about where the parking stalls are, how many there are, what the cost is. All this needs to be predictable for visitors and legible. They need to know where this is. And this is difficult because we've got a lot of private parking providers. The city's going to get in the parking business, we think, over in the Depot District because the RDA is going to build a parking garage over there with UTA. And we may start a parking authority where we are owning parking stalls. Mm-hmm. The idea there is that in the Depot District, for example, why don't I focus on that, Jeff,
sure.
Over near the intermodal hub. The RDA owns a lot of property over there, and we're going to try to develop it right in the sense that, you know, our big 10-acre blocks, if you want a pedestrian scale, if you want people to feel at home and kind of in tune when they're walking along the sidewalk, you need to have a different scale than we currently have. So we're going to try to break up some of those blocks, for example, make 4 blocks out of 1. That'll be really interesting to see what kind of development that spurs. That could be a really unique place over there. We'll see what the streetcar does to Sugar House.
Right.
It really could provide very unique places in the city that won't be like anywhere else in Utah. And this has been my mantra all along. Let's not become the suburbs in Salt Lake City. Let's become a good quality city that's an exciting place to visit that isn't like anywhere else. And that will become its own magnet. And people will come and visit because we're different.
We've been speaking with Luke Garrett. He is the Salt Lake City Councilman representing District 4 downtown and running for re-election this year. Councilman Garrett, we appreciate your time very much.
Thank you very much.